We've been looking at what the Bible says about worship. We've been looking at several New Testament passages that teach us about public worship, where a congregation of the Lord's people comes together on the first day of the week to worship Him. Now, today, we want to begin looking at some questions, some specific questions about worship. And in this lesson, we want to talk about some questions concerning the Lord's Supper. So let's begin. Number one, when are we to eat the Lord's Supper? Well, the answer is clear. In Acts 20, verse 7, the Bible says, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them." So the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, not only that these disciples ate the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. You see, this is not just an example of Christians eating the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. Now, that's helpful, and that's important to remember. And if we're going to study about when to take the Lord's Supper, we obviously need to take that into consideration. But what I want you to notice in Acts 20, verse 7, is that it not only says that they did eat the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, but it says that's the very reason that they came together on the first day of the week. That was the purpose for assembling on the first day of the week. They came together to break bread, that is, to break the bread of the communion. So the question is, does God want us to assemble together? Yes. The Bible says in Hebrews 10, verse 25, that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Well, this passage in Acts 20, verse 7 says that the purpose of that coming together is to have the Lord's Supper, to eat the communion. So you can't separate the assembly from the communion that is to be had in that assembly. The purpose of the assembly is stated right here in Acts 20, verse 7. So when we ask the question, when are we to eat the Lord's Supper, that is the same thing as asking the question, when does God require for His people to come together to worship Him? And that is the first day of the week. Somebody says, well, does that mean every Sunday? Well, does it mean every Sunday that we are to come together? Yes. So when we come together, we're to have the Lord's Supper, and that is to be done every Sunday. Now, let me give you a parallel to this that nobody ever questions. For some reason, nobody ever asked the question, well, are we supposed to give every Sunday? Are we supposed to have the collection? Are we supposed to pass the contribution baskets every Sunday? Or should we just do that maybe once or twice a year? I don't know of any church that says that. They all have the practice of having the collection or the contribution every Sunday. And if you were to ask them, well, why do you do that? They would say, well, because the New Testament says so. In 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, the Bible tells us that we're to have that collection on the first day of the week. Well, the same Bible that tells us that we're to have the collection on the first day of the week tells us that the reason for the coming together, the very purpose for the assembly, is to break bread. The same Bible that talks about giving on the first day of the week talks about communing on the first day of the week. So the answer to the question, when are we to eat the Lord's Supper, is on the Lord's Day, that is, on Sunday. Now, the next question is this, and I find that this is more and more of a common practice. Is the Lord's Supper an ordinary common meal, or is it a special meal for a special reason on a special day? Well, obviously, the Lord's Supper is a special meal with special food on a special day for a special reason. And we find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, there was a problem at the church at Corinth, and the problem was there were people there that were turning the Lord's Supper into an ordinary meal in the worship service. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 21, that in eating, everyone takes before other his own supper. And he says that this is wrong. So they had replaced the Lord's Supper with their own suppers. So here we have a Bible example. Here we have a Bible case of some Christians turning the Lord's Supper into an ordinary meal, and Paul says not to do that. So this is becoming more and more of a trend. There are more and more churches, I'm noticing, who are saying that the Lord's Supper is really no different from a common meal, and so if you want to have hamburgers, if you want to have cake and ice cream and whatever it is that you want to fix, that's fine. We'll just get together and sit down and have a common meal. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that the Lord's Supper is composed of the unleavened bread, and that represents the body of the Lord. It is also composed of the cup that is the fruit of the vine, grape juice, which represents the blood of Jesus Christ. And so when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are to remember the Lord's death. This do in remembrance of me. So it's not a common meal. It is a special meal. Now, this leads us to ask another question. And that is it right to have the Lord's Supper at a wedding or at a funeral? This is becoming more and more common. There are more and more people that are celebrating what they call the Lord's Supper at a funeral or at a wedding. Now, we go back to what the Bible says. What is the reason, what is the purpose of having the Lord's Supper to begin with? Well, the purpose is to remember the death of Jesus Christ. Well, that's not what you're doing at a wedding. That's not what is happening at a funeral. It is not the setting. It's not the reason for it. It's not the purpose of the Lord's Supper. And so we're not to take the Lord's Supper and make it a part of something that is to join two people in matrimony. That's not the reason for the Lord's Supper. And Jesus did not give us the Lord's Supper to commemorate the death of any other person besides himself. The Lord's Supper is not to be observed at a funeral in order to commemorate the life of an individual that we know. People have taken something that God set aside specifically for a certain purpose, and they're trying to make it something that is common. So those questions are easily answered, even though this is a growing trend in our society. These questions are very easily answered when we go to the Bible, especially when we go to a passage like 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Question number 3, what is Catholic Mass, and how is that different from what the Bible says in the New Testament about the Lord's Supper? Well, in Catholic Mass, and I'm reading here directly from the Catholic Catechism, we have this statement: by the consecration, the transubstantiation of the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ is brought about. Under the consecrated species of bread and wine, Christ himself, living and glorious, is present in a true, real, and substantial manner, his body and his blood with his soul and his divinity. So the idea of the Catholic Eucharist is the idea that when the priest blesses the bread and the fruit of the vine, that the bread and the fruit of the vine literally become the body and the blood of the Lord. Literally, physically, actually. Well, obviously, folks, when Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is my body, take, eat, this is my blood," he was saying that the unleavened bread represents his body, that the cup represents his blood. Those statements are no more literal than when Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth," Matthew 5, verse 13. So, no, the Bible does not teach that kind of idea. These are figures. This is figurative language to represent what the Lord did when he died on the cross. Now, the other thing that you need to remember about the Catholic idea of the Lord's Supper is that their teaching says that when the Lord's Supper is administered by a Catholic priest, that the people who receive the Lord's Supper from him actually receive forgiveness of sins by that very act. Not by repenting of their sins, not by confessing their sins and asking God for forgiveness, but simply on the basis of the fact that the Catholic priest has administered that so-called sacrament to them. Now, of course, the word sacrament is not in your New Testament. The idea of a sacrament is not in the New Testament. And what the Catholic Church means by sacrament is an observance, a ritual, whereby the grace of God is imparted to the people that participate in that particular sacrament. Marriage is one of them. The Lord's Supper is another one. And they have seven different sacraments. Well, that kind of theology is not in the Bible. The Bible teaches that we are to observe the Lord's Supper in commemoration of the death of Jesus Christ. And obviously, we're strengthened and we're edified when we do that. But it's not some kind of supernatural imparting of grace that gives us by itself the forgiveness of sins. Let's go on to number four. Does the Bible say that we are to use wine on the Lord's Supper? Well, if you'll go back to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and also look in the book of 1 Corinthians, you will never find the word wine used in connection with the Lord's Supper. It is the fruit of the vine, sometimes called the cup, but it's never called wine. Now, even if it was referred to as wine, that still wouldn't mean that it was alcoholic wine, because the word wine in the Bible is a generic term. Sometimes it refers to unfermented grape juice, just plain old grape juice, and sometimes it refers to an alcoholic beverage. Now, in the case of the Lord's Supper, the fruit of the vine is not alcoholic. And we know that because the night that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, there was nothing that had leaven in the houses of these Jews. You see, back in the Old Testament, the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 13 that they were to remove any kind of leaven from their houses. And the Jews understood that that referred not only to bread, but also to anything that they might drink. The Mishnah, which is a Jewish compilation of their traditions that was compiled toward the end of the second century, says this, that when the Passover comes, the Jews had to remove Babylonian porridge, Median beer, Edomite vinegar, Egyptian barley beer, and also all kinds of other substances. So history itself, in addition to the Bible, confirm that the beverage of the Lord's Supper is not alcoholic. Another question that is sometimes raised is this: where is the Lord's Supper to be taken? Can we just take it at home anytime we please, or is it a special observance that God has given to us? Well, the Bible says that the Lord's Supper is to be observed when Christians in a local congregation come together. So the Lord's Supper is to be taken in the assembly, the worship assembly of the saints on the first day of the week. You find that in Acts 20, verse 7, and you find that here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Another question that is sometimes raised is this: is the Lord's Supper permanent? Is it for us today? Or was it just some kind of custom or ritual that they had? Well, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, "For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." When Paul says, "as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup," those Corinthians already understood that they were to assemble on the first day of the week. That's exactly what they were doing. And Paul didn't have to explain to them that they were to do that every Lord's Day. They already knew that, and he's referring to that here in generic terms. But I want you to notice in verse 26 that he also says that as long as you partake of the Lord's Supper, you are showing, you are proclaiming, in a sense, the Lord's death till he come. So in other words, the Lord's Supper is to be observed until Jesus Christ comes again. We end with these words then that Jesus gives us about the Lord's Supper: "This do in remembrance of me."